Can somebody explain to me what bussin' and sheesh mean? Because last I heard, sheesh was something that you smoked, and bussing was something that you did to make a school district more diverse.
Mm-hmm. It's just like a Zoomer thing that got enough traction on TikTok that they started making old people do it, right? Because like bussing, I don't know where it comes from, but it just means something is like good, right? Like
I thought that was something Joe Biden opposed in his days in the Senate.
But yeah.
Mm-hmm. Well, yeah. Kamala Harris was very unhappy about that until she wasn't.
Joe Biden actually co-authored the "That Is Bussin' Sheesh" bill. A lot of people don't know this about his political legacy. Yeah.
It's all an acronym, and it stands for the most boring sentence you've ever heard.
That's House Bill HB 80085. Or sorry, House Bill H. And then there's the infrastructure version of that same sheesh bussin' bill, which is Senate Bill SB 8008. 1-3-5.
Yeah, KWXRP, the rock station.
It spells boobies.
I think that was a good joke, but I tried to picture what you were saying in my head and I couldn't hold on to it.
It spells boobies. If you write it into a calculator.
Oh, you gotta turn it upside down, right?
So it's
like a secret code. They're not
here on
tell.
WBOOB, playing all of the sexually suggestive hits from the 80s, 90s, and now.
Look, my fellow Congress people, how has no one realized if you turn this bill upside down, it just says boobies? They're not trying to pass any kind of legislation. They just wanted to write boobies and laugh about it. The billionaires and the billionaires are just trying to write boobies and laugh at it while the American people are starving.
Once the entire Republican side of the aisle is just like blonde women stepping out of a Humvee with like quadruple D tits and an AR-16, you might actually get a bill that is specifically about the infrastructure of boobs.
Mm-hmm. Or maybe like a stop boobies bill, and it's meant to like limit them from having the power to appoint a 50th Supreme Court justice or something.
That's right.
These blonde Republican women are coming along to make sure that America doesn't become a tyrannical nation of bookish nerds who are secretly hot as soon as they take their glasses off and let down their hair.
Act. Yeah. Very educated lesbians making assumptions based on their you got to add extra stuff onto the end of it, but
it's
the Velma Act.
It's if you really anagramize, if you make an anagram out of the entire name, it spells out Velma and the rest of the cast of the Scooby-Doo Mystery Machine show.
That's right.
They're getting grilled after they accidentally killed the president's son, thinking that he was a ghost.
Yeah,
they have to test him out before Congress.
In the bill, but then of course because of corruption, you have to get some pork in the boobs.
Yeah, before you know it, the boobs are buried under pork rinds. You can't even see them anymore.
I mean, here's the thing. We finally did see a little bit of meaningful action from one of the most powerful politicians in our country this week.
Oh,
and, of course, I'm talking about the breaking news that Joe Biden, quote, broke wind in front of Camilla, the Duchess of Cornwall.
Woo! Yeah!
Oh, I saw something about
America,
that.
America, number one!
Honestly,
world champs at farting and shitting.
I mean, if there's one good thing Joe Biden could have done while making, quote, small talk with English royalty, it's definitely like fart to the point of nearly shitting his doo-doo ass.
I mean, that's straight up 1776 level of America rules, baby.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Just ripping gas with no care about the British royalty.
That is what George Washington thought the role of the office should be, because like mm-hmm. we didn't know what a secular world leader would be before George Washington, and his ultimate goal would be the last president before the nation completely collapses and balkanizes should break wind in front of the crown. It's in his letters if you look it up.
It is in his letters.
They never finished the White House. You have like the one, you know, round section, but it was supposed to have two round sections next to each other and look like an ass that was farting. It'd be a flag that comes out of it in the shape of green smoke.
He once wrote in a letter to his vice president, "Yea, and verily, I wish for I could have busted that fat wind out my rear side in the presence of his royal majesty, George."
Sheesh.
Sheesh.
He invented sheesh too. Not many people know that.
That's right.
George Just Washington, a bunch of turn of the American Revolution, like quasi aristocrats sitting around and being like,
Sheesh. Yes. And verily. Ah, yes.
Sheesh. What do you think, George? I saw that on TikTok. It's pretty funny, huh? Sheesh.
Sheesh indeed. Now let us begin the fox hunt.
Do you think like decaying members of the extended royal family, do you think they have to put up with their grandkids making them do TikTok crazes?
Or do you think
that there's still like a strong enough familial hierarchy in those families where the grandparents can be like, put that phone away or I'll break all your fingers?
Do you think there's anybody in the royal, like with a substantive claim to the throne, even if it's a very distant one, on TikTok? I mean, I feel like they would keep that shit on lock just in case anything, you know, any more Epstein, you know, private island shit would come out about the royal family.
Like, they can't do that with the British royal family because Britain used to run like half the world, and they still, like, there's a level of seriousness that they're always trying to ascribe to the royal family. So I bet there's really strict rules. But in like a smaller country where like the monarchy is more of a joke, I'm probably going to get some details wrong here, but like, you know, I don't know, Belgium or like, you know, Luxembourg or something, like one of these tiny countries, you gotta
Sweden,
know that
I think still has a like an existing royal family, kind of.
Exactly, like the Swedish like queen's granddaughter is probably on TikTok like bros really love proving they can back into a space at IKEA, like
when he tries to park backwards at
IKEA.
Closest thing we have to that in the United States is Ella Emhoff doing the caramel dancing in front of her parents' like $4 million Brooklyn brownstone while wearing a sweater with arms that are twice the length of her arms in a shade of brown that looks so viscerally disgusting that you puke a little in your mouth when you see it.
I mean, isn't that like kind of the weirdest thing about the American political landscape, is that it can produce Kamala Harris's Marxist father and then her and then like an obnoxious art student who's asking you if you've tried the new vegan tea. It's all vegan. Yeah,
there's definitely something about like British like extreme wealth and royalty and power where they're like, well, if I'm like the 17th Duchess of Arkanshire or whatever, I have to like be proper. I have to like never unbutton the top button of my coat. They have all these like weird traditions they want to follow. But I feel like the true American dream is just like being rich and then being a dipshit and doing whatever you want. Like, that's why Americans love Trump so much, because he's like, what if you were rich, but you were also still a dumb idiot and just like had a gold toilet and ate at McDonald's every day still?
And what if your son played a lot of video games and didn't like talking to you, but wasn't too vocal about it? I think that's really the thing about Trump that resonated with America, is that Barron is just right on rails, like perfectly on track to become an emo SoundCloud rapper. And I think that's really beautiful. I mean, he's really tall. He's a lanky bitch, and he plays too many video games for the sanctity of his brain. I mean, what else could happen?
If he gets a face tattoo, I will definitely concede your point. But I feel like Barron Trump is a tragic figure because he was born too late to be one of those like types of guys who by his mid-20s is like seldom seen in the household, but like during a family dinner like scurries downstairs, makes a plate, and then scurries back to his room. But also has it somehow made millions of dollars investing in Bitcoin in like 2014. But he was also born too early to be that, but on the meta AR Oculus Rift future digital world, you know?
Yeah. Barron Trump is one of those guys who thinks he was born in the wrong generation, but he just wants to be Gen X. He wants to see episodes of Friends air for the first time.
I was born in the wrong generation, but like not in that way.
Yeah, I was born in the wrong generation. They should have waited 100 years. That's what I'm talking about.
That's right. I should have been born like 2,000 years ago, because like I'm a big fan of like mud brick construction.
You
big
should
fan
just
of
be
thatched roofs.
You should just be one of those like primitive technology guys on YouTube who like makes a house
exactly
out of mud bricks for no reason.
I mean,
I love that shit.
That's my thing with the fucking singularity folks, right? They're like, oh yeah, pretty soon there's going to be a technological moment where we're all completely subsumed and become one with the technology. And then if you need a house, you just imagine a house and then you live in it. And I'm like, hold on.
Those guys are fucking weird.
Those guys are fucking weird and also like delusional because like just the law of large numbers, if there was ever going to be a time when we could support an unlimited number of entities, I as an entity specifically would probably have been born after that time. And I'm not. So it's probably not happening.
That's
checkmate.
Right.
Checkmate historicists.
Damn.
I think
you just
that
did
does,
math.
That does
on
add
a
up
podcast.
Technically.
Yeah, that's
I know.
Up.
I'll see myself out now.
Yeah.
But if we want to talk about math, current estimates place Barron Trump at 6'7". So I like the future
Holy
where Barron
fuck.
Trump ends up as a fringe bench player in the NBA and announcers are like, you know, this guy, he's not just Barron Trump, the dunk champion. He's also the son of former President Donald Trump. And then
it's
Trump
like,
is like there at the games in his tie, like half heartedly cheering.
NBA announcers are like, well, you know, Barron's his lead game has really shaped up this season. I got to tell you, this guy is absolutely not fired, right? Like, how many of you are old enough to remember?
And that announcer was also born after 9/11 in this like hypothetical reality.
Yeah.
It's just so it's far enough in the future.
And now we go to our like halftime 40s. Show, Doja Cat.
Coming out of retirement. Yeah.
Does basketball even have halftime shows? I don't know a damn thing about sports.
Not really the same way as the Super Bowl.
I feel like in the middle of every cricket game, they all stop and just like a real grimy like drill rap thing plays and they all put their hand over their heart.
Mm-hmm. I love that.
Also, people take naps because don't cricket games go for like 4 days sometimes?
Do they? Jesus.
I've heard that. I think it's just one of those games that has like there can be no end in sight sometimes. I don't really know why.
Of course that would come out of the island of perverts that is the United Kingdom.
Absolutely. It's a sports game that sucks to play and never ends. We love it, folks.
Yeah. It's more of a meditative exercise. You can think about it like tantric sports, right? Like,
yeah.
It's not about the gratification. It's about the delay of gratification.
Well, speaking
about
of delayed
forever.
Gratification and suffering forever, the people who, I don't know, died at the Travis Scott concert, because apparently somebody, now they weren't crushed by a crowd. The news narrative is that somebody was going around injecting them with something, which
I've seen
highly
that, which
doubt.
Really
yeah,
absurd,
sound right?
I don't
I mean,
know if that's
could.
Like an attempt to like deflect responsibility from the event organizers for not preventing a crowd crush, which is something that happens frequently in human history. I mean, that has happened at many concerts in, you know, the past like 50, 60 years. You can look it up on fucking Wikipedia. If you're feeling morbid, it happened at the Hajj where like 1,100 people on pilgrimage to Mecca were killed in a crowd crush. Like,
Jesus.
But for them to come out and be like, no, it wasn't like negligence on the part of the event organizers. It was somebody going around injecting people with a mysterious substance is absolutely psychotic.
Yeah, parents, you need to check your children's Travis Scott concerts because some people have been handing out edibles disguised as sicko mode.
Yeah, somebody's putting fentanyl in the Cactus Jack burgers.
Yeah, I mean, it's certainly possible. America is definitely a demented enough place for that to happen, but that's always the like veneer. That's always like the thing that they're relying on when they say shit like that, because they don't want you to believe that like a rap concert could be mismanaged badly enough to destroy a bunch of people's lives. And like people were pointing out on Twitter, like Travis Scott, this is the guy who left his manager for dead when he was having seizures in the studio. Former manager.
Oh, really? I didn't read about that.
So I mean, not necessarily the guy you want coordinating a multi-thousand person event.
Yeah. You saw videos where he was just standing on a pedestal, still continuing to sing while staring directly at a passed out person being carried away by paramedics. Like, they kept doing the concert. It was,
I mean,
yeah.
That's
I mean,
not
it's
even
one thing,
the most
like, sometimes. Like, sometimes at a show, people, like, party too hard and, like, pass out or whatever. So, it's like, possible to like not really realize what's happening. But it, I've seen a lot of people saying that they were like trying to get them to stop the concert and like stop the mosh pit, and no one really listened.
Sure. Yeah. I mean, any one incident of like performing while like obviously a bunch of bad shit is happening isn't that compelling to me, because it's hard to know what's going on when you're on stage and like the lights are in your eyes and music is really loud and shit. But like, he kept performing for over a half an hour after this became a problem. And it's like, I think as soon as the third guy has hopped up to the side of the stage and gone like, cut it, Finn, stop now, stop, just waving frantically, like, you should know there's a real problem. Like, is the venue on fire? I don't know. Get off the stage, Travis.
Could be a problem for you too.
George W. Bush, that would have cut that shit real short. I've seen takes from like, what is really interesting to me is that I've seen the same take across the entire ideological spectrum, like weird right wingers, like leftists, even libs are like, there is something seriously satanic about the energy in the videos of that concert where he's just stone faced staring at people being carried away, passed out, presumed dead, and singing like, through auto tune. It's like, it's disturbing to watch.
I guess. I mean, it's anything where people are fucking dying en masse. I don't know. Is it satanic or is it just a fucking tragedy?
They were injecting scopolamine into the air, folks. It's real.
They should have handed Travis Scott a completely fake gun, and then this would have been avoided.
Mm-hmm. If there were a couple of good guys with a gun there, maybe. Yeah.
It's a little set of Rust joke for the audience who's been keeping track. Oh.
Yeah. Alec Baldwin would have stopped that. You know,
if they just had Alec Baldwin and Mark Wahlberg were at the concert, none of this would have happened.
Well, I mean, that's the other thing that I'm seeing on like Twitter and social media sites is they're like, did you know other artists have stopped shows for far less? And I'm like, is that really the point? Is the guy who's on stage like in charge of the whole deal? Like, Travis Scott was running this festival. I think he had like a production hand in it, so it's a little bit of a different setup. But like, most of the time, the guy with the microphone is not the guy signing everyone's checks at the end of the day.
Yeah, like, not at all. It's just a performer.
If it were a Morrissey concert, they would have canceled the show before anybody even showed up.
I think we should make Morrissey and Maynard James Keenan fight to the death.
Now, Morrissey has like a reputation for just canceling shows without any provocation. Like he had a bad day, so he just canceled.
I have read about that.
Kanye too, I think, for a while when I was thinking,
Kanye West famously was like, he was on a tour where he was like performing on top of a floating platform, and it had already like floated out over the crowd. And then I guess he just decided he like wasn't up to performing, so he was like, the show is over. And then there's a whole crowd of people like looking unhappy as Kanye slowly floats back over them on a huge platform.
That rules.
Which is pretty incredible to not be like, I'm gonna wait till the platform is back above the stage and then be like, okay, show's over, bye. He had to like float over everyone just standing there.
Yeah, I gotta get home and I love that. Rewatch Home Movies. I love Brendan Small.
Sorry guys, I got a lot going on today. I don't think I got into this YouTube series. I don't think I can finish the concert. Sorry.
I mean, that's the thing about Kanye. I can't even be impressed by the increasingly crazy things he does anymore. Like, there's a ceiling on crazy, right? Mm-hmm. You get up to Charles Manson and then that's it. You can't go any further than that. Like, you can hit the gas all you want.
Charles Manson level.
What's that?
He hasn't gotten to Charlie. Like, has Kanye inspired a cult of teen girls to murder Cheryl Tate or whatever her name was?
Yeah, basically. I mean, he had that. He had that prayer.
Well, then you got to hand it to him.
He had that prayer session with Marilyn Manson and Justin Bieber. Yeah. I think that's approximately the same thing. Yeah.
Yeah, I guess when you can get the most twisted man of the 90s to wear all white and like pray, you've done something pretty interesting. I don't know what it rocks. Is, but you've done something.
Hey, Rob Zombie, do you want to come lead a prayer service this Sunday?
Yeah, he has Rob Zombie singing Kumbaya. Rob Zombie's hair has been dyed white.
I mean, actually, I feel bad for making that joke, though, because by all accounts, Rob Zombie is actually like a really nice guy and like just a really sweet and genuine person to work with.
I love that.
And Marilyn Manson is just like widely known to be a huge piece of shit in his personal and professional life.
Yeah, he seems like
this
a
whole time
shithead.
I was thinking Charles Manson.
No, it wasn't Charles. It was Marilyn.
For some reason, I was thinking Charles Manson this whole time. That's why I brought up the Tate murders.
Mm-hmm. Well, I said Charles Manson first.
Oh, you did say Charles Manson.
We started with Charles Manson.
That's what Kanye is actually angling towards.
I thought I was having a stroke from vaping too much.
No, I brought up two Mansons suspiciously mm-hmm. close together. I Fox News Iraq warred ya. I just said 9/11 and Saddam really close together a bunch of times, and you were fooled immediately.
That's right. Yeah. No, yeah, damn.
Charles Manson is the guy who collaborated with Dennis Wilson from the Beach Boys. Marilyn Manson collaborated with Kanye West recently. One of them makes good music. I'll let you figure out which one.
Actually, it's a perfect one-to-one comparison because Brian Wilson was also crazy as shit.
Yeah, that guy had some mental problems. He made a good album, though.
I don't want to make fun of anybody's mental health issues, but I feel like Brian Wilson is on the table, right?
I think so. I think you can go there. There's not really any like Brian Wilson diehards who are going to be like, shut up.
Yeah,
you don't know what you're talking about.
You know, yours truly, all right? You know,
he makes good music.
It's a labor issue, okay? If Brian Wilson put up Pet Sounds, which is one of the greatest chamber pop albums of all time, not that I know any other chamber pop albums that exist, but it was a failure of the healthcare system that he didn't get the mental health care that he needed to mm-hmm. finish Smile. Okay, yeah. I'm just saying,
you know, Smile is so good,
but that's what makes it a labor issue.
I love the idea of a guy who's like scared he's gonna get yelled at by Brian Wilson fans. So like he's at a party and he's talking to someone about Brian Wilson, and before he tells his joke about Brian Wilson, he kind of has to look around the room.
yeah.
And he's like, wait a minute, that guy's wearing like a kind of baggy Hawaiian shirt. Oh no, just a Proud Boy. He probably doesn't like the Beach Boys. Okay, we're good.
I just got to make sure I'm not telling this joke in front of anybody who goes down a deep YouTube recommendations hole, because that often ends at Beach Boys.
No, that'll end every time at Plastic Love.
Plastic Love, that's right. There was a long time where no matter what video I watched on YouTube, it would queue up September by Earth, Wind & Fire.
Dude, that same shit happened to me, and it was like the old video from like the 70s or 80s or whatever.
Yeah,
of them wearing like sparkly purple jumpsuits.
I mean, that song is a masterpiece, and that
it's
video
incredible.
Is
absolutely
pretty damn good, but I've also already experienced it thousands of times.
Well, I think it's like once you cross the hundreds, YouTube is just like, well, he only likes watching this video, so we'll keep having him watch it over and over. I can't fail.
I like the idea of like the YouTube algorithm being like that, where it's just like, oh, you like this thing way too much, we'll just give you this thing over and over again.
I feel like that's what it's trying to do. It's just like a very weird algorithm that makes mistakes sometimes.
Let's boot up my algorithm, because my algorithm is fucked.
We saw that you enjoyed Angry German Keyboard Kid. How would you like to watch Angry German Keyboard Kid 10 hours?
Oh, man.
Chopped and screwed Angry German Keyboard Kid. Angry
like
German
a fucking
Keyboard Kid Nightcore version.
Okay, on my YouTube algorithm right now, we have how to make a 1 to 150 micro RC car, a video, of a detailed documentary about Kaitak Airport China Airlines plane crash, Jurassic Park but with a cat, and the hidden cost of buying a turbocharger on eBay.
Yeah, right now I got some synth videos. I got like hip-hop but it's extra chill 24/7 live stream. I have Sopranos but just Gabagool extended cold cut edition.
Extended cold stuff. Cut edition.
Yeah.
Yes, epic math duel. God, YouTube has really gone downhill. There used to be groundbreaking shit on YouTube, like you said, John, an angry German kid yelling at video games. Like, that was like the cream of the crop back then.
We used to have angry German keyboard kid Ronald Jenkins and what's another old YouTube
Fred
thing? Fred. Yeah. And now we have no German kid, no Jenkins, and Fred.
Fred's still there. He's I don't around. Really know if he is. He must have moved on.
We used to have point. Filthy Frank in this country.
Yeah, what the fuck
now
happened?
Now we just have
filthy
Joji.
Frank.
Joji,
yeah.
What the fuck?
He's just Joji now.
He was pretty fucking funny, and also his music's not that bad, I gotta say.
I'm gonna have to disagree with you on both counts. He was never funny, and his music is terrible.
If you're gonna commit to the bit hard enough to run around New York City with like a pink spandex suit on. Look, you got to hand it to him.
I think I would straddle the line and say he's pretty funny and his music's fine, but he's definitely better at being funny than he is at making music. And I wish he'd just stayed
yes,
being Filthy Frank.
I feel that.
Yeah, I'll hand it to him, Todd. Hand him a damn job application.
Hell yeah.
Let's see how these antics fly at fucking McDonald's, Mr. Filthy Frank. You have to clean up your act there.
Yeah, you're going to have to be fairly presentable, now. Frank, at McDonald's, little man.
Oh, man. Did you guys see that fucking post? Someone, I think it's in Mids posting, where someone was like talking about how they have a professional job, but they got a job at Wendy's for the greater good.
God, that is miserable.
That
he
is
was just
truly
like,
demented.
We
That's
need
fucked.
Wendy's needs people to work and not enough people want to. So I'm going there to help out the community by working for $15 an hour, making French fries at Wendy's.
I mean, that is the kind of thing that, like, especially having moved back to the Midwest, like a lot of like older dudes will do. They'll be mm-hmm. like, I'm going to go get a shitty job and grind out a little bit of extra money and then convince myself I'm basically saving my entire community. Like this is an 80s inspirational movie where the climax of the film is that I saved the Wendy's franchise downtown.
Yeah, I mean it's fucking bleak because, you know, when you live in a country where everything is so hollowed out and there's no real sense of like community or, you know, non-transactional helping or really anything non-transactional, and you're like, well, everyone likes to eat at Wendy's because it's cheap and Wendy's is pretty good and I need something to do and there's nothing else to do and I need a little money. So I guess if I work at Wendy's, I'm helping people because they're happy to get their food.
Yeah, like, yeah,
in this weird twisted, you have to twist the logic a lot, but it's like you can arrive at it in a country that's this fucked up.
He made sure to say the boss appreciated his work ethic. Like, Jesus. Yeah.
I love that kind of personal politics, though, because I feel like you really could in this country, like we're demented enough that you could scale it up to like a presidential campaign. You could be like, I vow that as president on my very first day, I will create an Amazon Mechanical Turk account and complete 30 tasks every afternoon. For the greater good.
Yeah. Did we talk about the election yet? I can't remember if we talked about that after our last episode.
I don't think so. Okay. I barely followed it, though.
Can we just talk about the guy who... Okay, so I have this video pulled up of mm-hmm. the guy who won in New Jersey.
Okay.
Riding... His ad... He spent $150 on his campaign, unseated at like a major... Like the Democratic Senate president or whatever. But his campaign video is just him riding off on his fucking hog. It rules.
Oh, I think I saw this. Yeah. He's just like he's a trucker or something and he rides a motorcycle.
Time for a change.
He just gets on the fucking motorcycle.
So together, let's end single party rule. Vote for me, Edward Dare, for Senate.
He just rides off on the motorcycle.
He got some like free trailer music from some website.
Yeah.
That's awesome.
People of America, let me tell you, as president, I promise to give you all specially designed hogs that will push your dick into your butthole.
Hell yes.
For too long, dicks have resided outside of buttholes, but I think it's time for Americans to tighten their belts. Tighten their belts so much that their balls and their penis enter inside their butthole. Yep. That'll be a solution to a lot of problems. I'm not sure which one,
time,
but we'll figure them out.
The next time some snowflake SJW communist Democrat tells you to fuck yourself, you can just get on your bike.
That's right. It's great because, like, I think we talked about this on a previous episode. Like, all the Democratic Party can do is be like, look, we beat Trump. And they just, all their effort, all their branding, all their marketing is beating Trump. Like they don't have anything else. They can't offer anybody anything else except for their donors, and then they just get their absolute shit rocked by guys who are just like, hey, you know, the Democrats, we're not them.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I mean the Democrats really don't have any ammo in the chamber, do they? Like they're kind of the electoral version of,
well, the one Democrat definitely does have ammo in the chamber, and that was Alec Baldwin.
But the Democrats are like the political version of your friend where you're like, come to the bar with us after work, come on, it'll be so fun, and they're like, oh, all right, I'll come with you, and then they order like pita chips and water.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
and everyone's
yeah.
like, well, you won't be coming back.
Yeah, and they're like, what, I came to the bar, I had a drink, I thought it was just showing up and doing anything was what mattered and not doing something that people would appreciate or like or understand.
Here's a question. Have we tried turning the Democrats off and back on?
Yeah, I don't know. Let's turn them off and see what happens.
Yeah, they're going to get their absolute shit rocked in 2022, at least according to poll numbers that came out this week. Like, I think Kamala Harris's approval rating is like 15%. Joe Biden's approval rating is like down to 38%. And Republicans are winning local races across the board. And it's like, I mean, first of all, you also have to think about the fact that, like, now the in the news, there's like a nitrogen fertilizer shortage. And like all these supply chain shortages are fake. Like we talked about.
They're just yanking our supply chain at this point.
It is capital manipulating markets, and it's being done in lockstep with Democrat policy. And they're basically salting the earth for themselves. It's bizarre to see. I can't imagine. I don't know what their fucking game plan is. What are they trying to accomplish here other than eating shit electorally? Greater than any other midterm election in history.
They're being controlled opposition. That's what their role is, and they play it well.
Yeah, failing is success for them, as long as they do it the correct way, the way that gets the Republicans back in power. In 2 years, when they announce that their presidential candidate is a tube of Pringles, but racist.
You can just say a tube of Pringles.
Yeah,
the Pringles guy, he seems sus. I don't know what's going on with that bow tie or that like Orville Redenbacher like hair. He looks like he's trying to be a Proud Boy or something.
They keep redesigning him the way fascist parties keep getting new names. Am I right?
That's right.
Yeah. But I mean, stuff like this, like the, you know, looking ahead to 2022 Democrat chances, it's like once you've been following politics for long enough, like if you're in your 30s and you've been following politics as an adult, like it just gets too exhausting to care about because like, this is what happened. Like, this is the story of every midterm in America in the past, like, 40 years, I think, is like one party wins the presidency. 2 years later, that party gets punished in the midterms because there's not really much of a way to engage with politics in America as an average person other than voting. And the only thing you can really feel like you do when you vote is you make someone lose. So when a party is in power and then everyone tells you not to like them, you're like, well, next time I'll make that person lose. And then it just flips around like, there's never really anything that positive that's like, if you vote for Joe Biden, you'll get to do X, Y, or Z. It's just like, Trump can lose if you vote for Joe Biden. So we're just stuck in this endless cycle.
But if you all look under your chairs, you'll find a libertarian candidate.
By God, that's Gary Johnson's music.
I would like to see a Jill Stein campaign in 2024. I think she's got a shot.
That would be so funny. God, remember how mad people were at Jill Stein all the time?
I'd like to see a Beer Stein campaign in
2024. Hey, that's now what we're talking about. Saying. That's right.
Wisconsin locked up.
Run for president. You're wearing a bag on your head. You don't speak, but at every event, you just like hold up a Beer Stein and then you like wheel out a keg and then everyone in the audience gets beer.
Yeah.
Massive turnout. 100%
single issue voter in that issue is getting fucking plastered.
Yeah, I mean, that's honestly, I think you might really be onto something, Chris. Maybe not specifically with relation to beer, but we've all been, you know, racking our brains. We're like, okay, these candidates that are good at engaging in spectacle and being fun and funny are the candidates that get some traction, Donald Trump, Bernie Sanders, etc. But how do we get somebody who's really a committed communist to develop that kind of political steam? And the answer is they should never talk and only communicate by handing out free things.
I like that.
You start
like
with beer and weed, the obvious crowd pleaser.
Sure, yeah.
You move on to communist literature and
start
guns.
Move on to guns, yeah.
Yeah, yeah, guns. Yeah, I think we're onto something here.
I mean, I made a lot of inroads in my community by hand transcribing the entire Communist Manifesto onto multiple nugs of weed.
Wait, how do you write on a nug of weed? Just like etch it in?
That's
with a
non-fungible token right there.
Yeah, I dare you to funge that. I dare you to make a second nug of weed that looks like the first one with the Communist Manifesto on it.
Showing my friend a fucking hash coin, like, guess what, buddy? I'm gonna funge this bitch.
Hell yeah.
Yeah. And by hash coin you mean like some hash pressed into a disc shape that you then smoke.
That is what a hash coin is.
Trailer Park Boys style. That's what I'm the only style that matters.
Doing some hot knives with instead of the corn dog at the county fair, how about the fucking presidential candidates do some hot knives off a stove?
I mean, honestly, there's places like California lets you smoke weed in the dispensaries, right? They can have like a lounge, like a bar type situation where you can smoke. I've never been, but people tell me. And so what you got to do is you got to get like a county fair you know, Orange County, let's say, Humboldt, whatever. And Joe Biden walks into the state fair, and there's a hot knife stand where you gotta like guess the amount of hash you just smoked, and if you get it right, you don't have to pay for it.
Oh shit, I'm strapped. I better get this right, Jack, or I'm going to debt for hash. I can't do that.
And Joe Biden just like takes a tiny little shrimp hit and just like completely vomits up his lungs and collapses on the ground, and they're like, Mr. President, how much do you think that was? And he's like,
Jack, an ounce.
Yeah. So, some fucking aide tries to give him Narcan because they're like, oh my God, he must have smoked fentanyl. I've heard about that. Sometimes weed is just half fentanyl. Mr. President, please take the Narcan.
Oh, maybe he's got Havana syndrome. Maybe the people at the Travis Scott concert have had Havana syndrome.
Yeah, you know,
they're too busy Havana hot knife night with the boys.
That's right. When are they going to come out with, Havana Syndrome 2?
Yeah,
this time it's personal.
When are they gonna make weed for men?
weed for men is just beer. That's right.
Or fentanyl? I think weed for men is fentanyl, maybe.
Yeah. Weed for men is you reach for a cop's gun.
Yeah, that's a high you can't reproduce because you will die. It has, it'll usually kill you. But I mean, man, the rush, the energy.
What else is going on? What's going on how's New York, Chris? Because you're the only one on the pod right now is in New York.
Oh yeah. We have a new mayor, Eric Adams, and one of the first things he said is that he was going to take his first three payments from mayor in Bitcoin.
Oh, so, it's another crypto episode, that's cool. Folks. Right. We're talking crypto, and then the Miami mayor was like, "Yeah, I'll take one Bitcoin, please."
Yeah, fucking mayor's putting a sign outside City Hall that's like, "We now accept Bitcoin."
Yeah.
Bitcoin transactions at the DMV coming soon.
I love that in the infrastructure bill they snuck in a provision to attempt to start taxing crypto, because they already tax if you cash out a crypto. Like, hits your capital gains. But what they now want to do is anytime you send crypto to someone or receive crypto from somebody, the sending party has to collect the social security number of the owner of the anonymous internet wallet that they sent that crypto to, which is not going to happen.
More like a social insecurity number, am I right?
Yeah.
I think
now
so, yeah.
Now there's 92 sweaty nerds in basements who know my SSN.
Yeah, everyone who owns like pieces of the Bitcoin you're trading for suddenly like has your life history.
Yeah, writing a fucking JavaScript program to accurately file my crypto taxes for the year.
Yeah,
doing it by hand would take 4 months.
Mm-hmm. Any percent speed run.
How do people expect like these zombie decrepit legislators to like do anything material for anyone when they can't even fucking figure out a way to like they can't even wrap their heads around a digital currency? Like it's not even that hard, you know?
They can't wrap their heads around Instagram. Did you see that clip like last month or something when they had someone from Facebook
that
at the hearing and he was like, are you going to end Finsta? And she was like, well, Finsta is not a product that we offer. It's just a term for a second Instagram account. But this man was like, well, I've heard about Finsta. My granddaughter has one. It's full of perverts. We gotta shut this down.
Look, we're introducing a new Senate bill to outlaw butt dialing. I've been butt dialed many times. It's unpleasant. Nobody wants to be butt dialed, folks.
Calling in fucking Jack Dorsey to make him explain this email from a Nigerian prince I've just received.
Yeah, Mr. Zuckerberg. It says here that it's a picture of a skeleton on a motorcycle, and there's flames coming out of the back of the motorcycle, and it says, listen up, liberal, where is my fixodent? And what exactly does that mean for the for the future of the Facebook stock?
Mr. Zuckerberg, I can abide by extremist content on your website, and I can abide by hate speech being proliferated at uncanny speeds, but what I can't abide is this distorted image of Lord Farquaad, which is simply labeled with the letter E.
Yeah. Mr. Zuckerberg, since receiving this image, I have never known peace. snakes began manifesting in my house physically.
Oh man, what the fuck's going on with this Meta shit? Where Facebook is rebranding? Are they going to make us all get like VR?
They're in trouble, and they were like, "Uh-oh, we better roll out Second Life, but blue for Facebook." Like, and they're saying that, like, I'm seeing these articles where it's like, media creators and tech financiers are pivoting to Meta to create value, and I'm like, prove this fucking sentence contains information, motherfucker. show me the subject, object, and verb.
Yeah, I dare that you. Sentence is the equivalent of that meme that's like, name one thing in this photo, and it's all things created by a neural net that like look sort of like things but aren't really anything.
Yeah, I know it smelled crazy in there. Yeah.
On Meta.
Well, that's like, yeah, it smells like burning toast because it's a fucking stroke simulation.
Like, you got to think about, like, the first time boomers log into like an AR or VR Facebook like metaverse, they're all going to just have they're gonna get stuck at the character creator screen, and like old boomer Vietnam vet dudes who used to ride Harleys but can't anymore because their bones have become too weak are just gonna all make female avatars with giant tits.
Yeah.
And then and that's how they're gonna log into the metaverse,
and they're gonna be really, it's gonna be so racist too. It's gonna be exactly like Xbox Live chat but with more erectile dysfunction and dentures.
Yeah, I love that. That's a really good point, because like, young people don't use Facebook, like Zoomer, like we that's something that I don't even understand, because like, I keep up with old friends on Facebook, you know.
Mm-hmm. I'm literally you know? The youngest like person who uses Facebook in the whole world, and I'm 30. So
yeah, exactly. Yeah, what, like, I don't know what they expect to happen. Like, they're gonna make, like, it's gonna be Google Glass. It's gonna be Facebook's version of Google Glass. It's gonna not see wide adoption. And there's not going to be any young people on the platform, because it's just going to be like old grandmas trying to sell like a crop top from 1987 that has Minnie Mouse on it.
Yeah. Well, I mean, it's also,
I wish it was that cool.
It's also marketed in a way that only like appeals to people with that brain. Like, there was a post from Mark Zuckerberg a couple of days ago where he had printed out the Facebook like button and the Meta logo in icing on a couple of cookies, and then taken like a shamefully small bite of one of the cookies and posted a picture of it that says, "Pretty sweet." And I thought to myself when I saw this, I was like, this is a true Lovecraftian horror of capitalism. A company that is so large and has so little risk of failing at anything that they put their financial resources towards, that they can actually let their lizard person CEO personally use his own narrative voice in advertisements, even though like putting barbecue sauce on a shelf in his library is one of the more human things he's done in the public eye in the last 10 years.
In order to prove that you're human when logging into the metaverse, you're going to have to select all images that contain Sweet Baby Ray's. Mm-hmm.
Drink confirmation bottle of Sweet Baby Ray's to prove you enjoy the taste.
Eat confirmation cookie.
Yeah.
That bite was too big. Take a small bite like Mr. Zuckerberg.
Hey, this one made me smaller.
Nope, hey, that's just in the metaverse.
Made me larger. Yeah.
Oh, wow, this metaverse shit is so great. I couldn't even tell that it wasn't my real body getting smaller.
One pill makes you racist, and the other one makes
you racist too. It is so weird, though, because it's like they're just trying to recreate the version of like the internet people have been imagining since the 80s, where you like wear goggles and like walk around a video game space. People have tried to make that. Nobody really likes it, because it's not an interesting, it's not really a good way to interact with a digital space. And, you know, there's many ways people do enjoy, like playing online video games or hanging out on Discord or like
making
Zoom calls
to,
or,
you know.
Yeah, yeah, there's like dozens of ways people interface with the internet. And the idea that anyone wants to be like wearing goggles and walking around a like weird chibi world, it's like nobody wants that. They just are like desperate for things that might make them more money.
Mr. Elon Musk, Lindsey Graham here. Why do people keep posting a picture of a pig pooping on its balls on my Twitter feed?
Yeah, I mean, that's a really good point, though. Like, nobody likes entering into a 3D world. Like, what are you gonna do? There's nothing to do in that fucking world. That
give
you
yourself
can't
tits.
Do in life. Like, I can't wait to get my Facebook branded Meta VR headset so I can download Campfire Simulator, and it'll be like I'm sitting in front of a real campfire.
that's the thing. When the world outside gets so incredibly shitty, like I think they, you know, like I guess the Silicon Valley elites think that you'll turn to VR when in reality. Wow. I mean, I guess what is doom scrolling going to look like when you have to wear like a VR headset or have a chip implanted into your eyeballs that projects a virtual world in front of you? What are pop-ups? Mm-hmm. Like, what are advertisements going to like? Are you going to have like an advertisement blasting in your face? You have to wait 15 seconds to watch an ad before using the toilet or something.
I will never know, honestly, because as soon as I get a whiff that like any kind of biological modification to myself is going to become necessary to use the internet, I'm fucking off to a lab under the sea where I will mismanage a revolutionary group known as the Seamen.
Hell yeah. I'm on board.
That is a very bleak thought that like the version of metaverse that they're making, they're like, we could make one that was actually appealing compared to the real world, but we know what's going to be happening to the real world in like 20 years. So in that time, this one is going to look very, very appealing. So we're just going to aim low and make what we know people will want to use once everything's just like living in Fallout or something.
I like to think that there's eventually going to be a life simulator that is so realistic that you're like, wow, I'm going to go back and find out what it was like to live in the 20s. And then you do. And then you live all the way up until now. And they invent it again in the digital world. And you're like, wow, I'm going to find out what it was like to live in the 20s.
Yeah, let's go one layer deeper.
Yeah. And then you're going to be like, well, I'm going to find out what it's like to live in the world of Star Trek. And then once you're in Star Trek, you're going to be like, ooh, a holodeck. That sounds fun. I'm going to simulate what it's like to live in the 20th century. And then you'll be like, oh, hey, a new invention. I'm going to go into Star Trek. And then you're just like 50 layers deep of going to Earth and then Star Trek and back to Earth and back to Star Trek.
It's it's Ready Player One all the way down, folks.
All the way down. Because
it's not going to be, oh, you can go back to the 20s. It's, oh, you can go back to a stylized version of the 20s that is made entirely of the intellectual property of Disney.
That it'll be like that Alan Watts quote where he's talking about like, oh, if you could dream any amount of time, you would dream endless lives and you would get bored with all of the nice things you could do. So you would start to put yourself at risk for excitement. And then after so many iterations of that, you would dream the dream of living the life that you are actually living today. You are Pickle Rick. you have turned yourself into a pickle to avoid therapy.
There was a serious thing like a year ago went on like various social media sites. There were like TikToks getting reposted where it would just be like a Zoomer girl like walking on a trail in a national park with Alan Watts quotes playing. It was the most epic thing ever.
Yeah, I mean, I think I would have to be an impressionable teenager whose main interests include putting bacon on things
and vaping.
And vaping
and smoking weed. And
I was doing my own teenage years, but they did not have vaping when I was high school.
Yeah,
back in my day, if someone said they had a vape, it meant they had a giant wooden box with a bag on top.
Yes!
You had to wait the volcano, dude, before you could get high. Nobody wants to wait to smoke weed. It's the 2000s. This shit is illegal. We need to hurry.
I remember okay, you guys, do you ever do the volcano with like the 6-foot plastic bag full of vapor on top of it?
Yeah. Like once or twice. Yeah,
I remember the day the Magic Flight launch box first was released. Okay, it was a monumentous occasion.
I remember my first portable vape. I was resisting getting one for over a year. My weed dealer had asked me on many occasions, bro, do you fuck with carts? And I would say, I don't know what that means. And I would just buy regular weed from him. And then one day I was in the convenience store near my work, which was also kind of low key a head shop, and they had the batteries. And I was like, oh man, that looks really nice and stealthy. I bet most people wouldn't even know what that is when they look at it. I could get away with so much being high, so many places with that thing. So I bought it And I never looked back. It was some off-brand piece of shit. I don't even remember it, but
oh,
I remember
early vapes the day. Ruled. Yeah, because it was like there were no matchings. Like after a couple of years of it, you could like have batteries that were compatible with other things. But for mm-hmm. the first couple of years, there was like no way to know if any battery was compatible with any cartridge. It was basically like you buy the thing. And the guy like at the smoke shop sells you on. He's like, this is awesome. This mm-hmm. does all these things. And then like 6 months later, you're like, oh, I need a new coil or I need a new cartridge right, or whatever. Right. And it's like, oh, yeah, no, that brand does not exist anymore.
I mm-hmm. mean, honestly, when I bought my most recent vape battery, which I have right here, the lady gave me a charger for it. And she said, whatever you do, don't plug this into a brick in the wall. It will mess it up. You How have would to that... plug it into your computer or another device.
It's and guess 100% what? Selling your data to China.
Lady, I did not follow your advice at all, and this thing still works 2.5 years later. So fuck you.
Yeah, thank I don't you think for that's how power works.
Okay.
My bad. I got too excited telling some kind of joke, and I knocked my entire recording like setup. Sans laptop onto the ground.
Look, John, you don't have to make up stories or excuses to cover up for the fact that the FBI sent a kinetic energy device to your domicile because we are getting to the bottom of the vape question.
That's right. That's right. They were like, he's getting too close. Send a rod from God. And then Ronald Reagan's Star Wars space defense program oh, yeah. activated after 30 years
yeah.
and nailed me from the exosphere.
Out of his grave. That'd be like a fun version of Conspiracy Guy is like the guy who also starts hallucinating that he's getting Havana syndrome when he gets close to the truth. So he's like telling people about some kind of like insane conspiracy. But then also he starts like having like faux heart attack symptoms and falling over when he gets close to whatever he thinks is the truth, but it's all in his head.
Ooh, he gets like woozy. Like he has to like make notes of where he passed out to piece yeah, clues yeah, exactly. together. Like yeah.
Just dude. like sitting there reciting conspiracies, and when he starts feeling a little fucked up or tired, he writes it down, and it's usually just like whatever is like the last thing he was thinking about because he hasn't eaten in 5 hours.
I just realized Havana syndrome is probably just they got the CIA office probably just has a bad carbon monoxide detector.
Yeah, yeah, it could be.
there's a burner on a stove in a break room that hasn't been shut off properly in 40 years.
Yeah. it God would explain damn. A lot about the CIA, honestly.
Well, no. If like, okay, so if you were, if the depiction of like the communist agents in like Cuba or China was real, like. And they were just trying to do like dastardly stuff against U.S. intelligence officials. Wouldn't the perfect thing be to infiltrate like an embassy or a spook office and just leave a burner on?
Mm. Yeah. 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 Yeah.
Just microwave fish so it smells weird, but you take it out. So you know what happened.
Yeah. Instead of stealing highly classified intelligence documents, the enemies of the regime are sending spies that are just mildly unpleasant. Office coworkers, yeah. Just making the CIA office shitty.
Just like doing the job kind of badly, but not stealing any information, not doing anything to expose yourself. Just kind of like annoying everyone and making it all shittier.
Starting a fantasy football league, collecting all the money from everybody, and then just losing interest.
Yeah, yeah. The guys at the CIA offices are like, you know, Tim from Human Resources hasn't sent me those reports that I requested, and then yesterday he walked up to my desk 4 minutes before my lunch and asked me what I thought about Dune. He must work for Castro.
He's Russian.
the Chinese Foreign Intelligence Office sending like spies to Langley to like keep the entirety of the CIA occupied with what's going to happen next on Game of Thrones and and Succession.
Oh, I hate Succession. My wife is watching.
I'm on
that
episode
show.
Three.
I haven't tried it.
Does
yet.
It get worse? I mean, like, is it worth?
It never
continuing?
Gets better. I'll tell you that. Okay. It's one of the worst shows I've ever seen. It's literally really? Entirely about the personal lives of a family of rich, entitled, yeah. unlikable dickheads. And mm-hmm. there's one likable guy. There's like this misfit cousin who doesn't really understand the power dynamics
of the family.
Yeah. And he's great, but he's literally just in there so people like me can have like five seconds of reprieve from the utter loathing we feel watching this quote prestige television.
I do like that character. Yeah.
He's funny. He's good, but everybody else sucks. And then like fucking the one dickhead from that show, Macaulay Culkin's brother, is hosting SNL this week. And that's just a confluence of things I fucking hate. So,
Well, I mean, I'm only on episode three, but his, that guy's character is kind of funny.
He is funny, but again, it's just to trick you into liking him.
So he ends up, well, I don't want to get into spoilers. Yeah.
Here's a spoiler.
No.
They never success.
Rupert Murdoch lives forever, and so no one takes over his company.
Oh, truly my God, the Henry Kissinger of television.
Yeah.
Oh, God, that sucks. Yeah. Okay. No, I mean, like, so what should I be watching? Like, I don't, you know, I watch less and less TV these days, but I could use a new show.
You know,
do you watch White Lotus? That show's good.
I watched White Lotus purely for that lady's tits, and it was worth it.
You know,
and I mean, it was also a pretty funny show.
It was very funny. Yeah, it was a good show. I mean, it's not very long,
it was a masterpiece.
There's faster ways to see boobs, but like maybe you just like a long con kind of.
But
like.
But I'm over. It's quality rather than quantity. You know what
the
I mean?
The speed run of see boobs on the internet. Those leaderboards have Todd on them. Way at the bottom.
He's doing the challenge runs.
Yeah, he's like someone who's yeah.
You have to like. Get
see boobs on the internet Nuzlocke run.
Yeah, you have to get there through Wikipedia related entries.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, try to see boobs on GeoGuessr speedrun.
This morning I was watching a video of a guy who is he modded Dark Souls so that every single enemy in the game is the last boss, and it takes him like 6 hours to leave the tutorial area. Todd's doing a version of that, but for seeing a woman's breasts.
Yeah.
Every woman is watching 6 hours of White Lotus, and then you see some boobs eventually.
That's right.
I'm like loath to admit it, but I did really enjoy Only Murders in the Building. I haven't finished it,
but it's very cute. I that show's fun.
Only Murders in the Building.
I hate it because it revolves around murder podcasting as like its central theme. But I thought I was truly going to despise it. But honestly, it handles it in a really, really fun and funny way. And also, I would watch Steve Martin read the phone book because I bet he'd make it really fucking funny.
I love
funny.
Steve Martin.
It's fucking Steve
I'm
Martin.
I'm really glad
Martin
that
Short,
Steve Martin, we haven't lost Steve Martin yet. Like, that guy is truly fun. Like, if you go back in, like, the 70s, 80s SNL, like, he rules. He's just
he's
always
one of the funniest
been
people ever.
He's the light universe Chevy Chase, right?
Mm-hmm. I didn't realize how truly satanic Chevy Chase is. Mm-hmm. I was reading about it. Like, he is a vortex of dark energy, that man.
Yeah, like, he's been rich his whole life, and his job is, like, being funny, and yet somehow he always comes across as, like, a weird asshole who's never happy about anything. Like, it's very strange to be like, yeah, my job is a comedian, but I hate life, I hate everyone. I'm rich and successful and blessed, but just like
I watched.
Yeah.
I have everything
in the world. You could say I'm kind of a malcontent.
I watched that movie. He was in. It's about they're like driving a car and they get stuck in like a podunk town. And
Cars 2.
There's like demons and like a really old judge who I think it's either Dan Aykroyd or Chevy Chase. Also, like Dan Aykroyd plays like five different characters.
Yeah, I've seen that movie. It's like super fucking weird and like has kind of a Addams Family vibe, but with more of like a Dirty South, like a Primus kind of aesthetic going on.
Yeah, no, you described it perfect. It's a really good movie.
Yeah,
it sounds like National Lampoon's
years.
Vacation, but like plus demons or something.
The best part is I watched it on VHS, and it came out in 91, which is like, I watched it the way it was meant to be watched, on VHS, on a like very inconveniently small, but also the box is massive CRT television.
Yeah.
Incredible.
I think the last time I saw that movie, I was like, at my grandma's house in the early 2000s, watching it on like TNT or TBS with all of the like more gory parts edited out. And the whole time I'm asking my dad, like, Dad, what is this? What are we watching?
What is it? It's a BMW is the car at the beginning, I think. He's like showing off how cool his BMW is. Like, that was it's a nice car too.
Yeah.
I'm not going to spoil it, but it gets really insane.
I want to see this movie. This sounds great.
Oh, it holds up. John, you said you haven't seen it in like 15 years?
Yeah, it's probably been over a decade.
It absolutely holds up. Yeah, Dan Aykroyd plays like five different characters. Demi Moore is in it.
What's it called again?
Nothing But Trouble.
Okay.
Oh, Nothing But Trouble?
Mm-hmm.
Nothing But Trouble.
It's not the thing that white dudes say when their other white friend enters the bar.
Oh, here comes us logging in to do podcasting. Oh, here comes trouble.
I guess they let anyone into this Zoom call that Todd started.
Yeah, hide the weed. I'm just kidding, guys. Hide the bears, though.
Don't hide the fentanyl.
What are these weird demon costumes they have in this movie?
Real guys, though, I appreciate you all being here.
I love you guys. Well, on that note, on the real, we appreciate you all coming to the podcast today.
John, I have a bone to pick with you.
You didn't put
the Ultimate Showdown of Ultimate Destiny as the outro music.
Yeah, I'll put the Ultimate
where we
Showdown.
Talked about the Ultimate Showdown of Ultimate Destiny.
Yeah, instead you put a drill beat mashup of Beat It, which goes really unreasonably hard.
Yeah, I forgot to put the relevant song in, and I just put the song that was most recent in my YouTube saved playlist outro songs.
Yeah. Oh, apparently the Sun Sentinel called Nothing But Trouble a variation on the Rocky Horror Picture Show.
All right, maybe.
Feed me, right? No, wrong one?
Yeah, you got it.
All right. Beep, beep, out.
All right. Beep on, y'all.
Bye, guys.
Bye.
Godzilla was hopping around Tokyo City like a big playground when suddenly Batman burst from the shade and hit Godzilla with a bat grenade. Godzilla got pissed and began to attack, but didn't expect to be blocked by Shaq, who proceeded to open up a can of Shaq Fu when Aaron Carter came out of the blue and he started beating up Shaquille O'Neal. Then they both got flattened by the Batmobile, but before he could make it back to the Batcave, Abraham Lincoln popped out of his grave and took an AK-47 out from under his hat, blew Batman away with a rat-a-tat-tat, but he ran out of bullets and he ran away, because Optimus Prime came to save the day. This is the Ultimate Showdown, Ultimate Destiny, good guys, bad guys, and explosions, as far as the eye can see, and only one will survive, I wonder who it will be. This is the Ultimate Showdown, Ultimate Destiny. Took a bite out of Optimus Prime, like Scruff McGruff took a bite out of crime, and then Shaq came back covered in a tire track, but Jackie Chan jumped out and landed on his back, and Batman was injured and trying to get steady when Abraham Lincoln came back with a machete, but suddenly something caught his leg and he tripped. Indiana Jones took him out with his whip, then he saw Godzilla sneaking up from behind, then he reached for his gun, which he just couldn't find, cause Batman stole it and he shot and he missed, and Jackie Chan deflected it with his fist, then he jumped in the air and he did a somersault while Abraham Lincoln tried to pull faults onto Optimus Prime, but they collided in the air, then they both got hit by a Care Bear stare. This is the Ultimate Showdown, Ultimate Destiny, good guys, bad guys, and explosions, as far as the eye can see, and only one will survive, I wonder who it will be. This is the Ultimate Showdown. Angels sang out in an immaculate chorus, down from the heavens descended Chuck Norris, who delivered a kick which could shatter bones into the crotch of Indiana Jones, who fell over on the ground, writhing in pain, as Batman changed back into Bruce Wayne. But Chuck saw through his clever disguise, and he crushed Batman's head in between his thighs. Then Gandalf the Grey and Gandalf the White and Monty Python and the Holy Grail's Black Knight and Benito Mussolini and the Blue Meanie and Cowboy Curtis and John B. the Genie, Robocop, the Terminator, Captain Curtin, Darth Vader, Lo Pan, Superman, every single Power Ranger, Bill S. Preston and Theodore Logan, Spock, the Rock, Doc Ock and Hulk Hogan all came out of nowhere lightning fast, and they kicked Chuck Norris in his cowboy ass. It was the bloodiest battle that the world ever saw, with civilians looking on in total awe. The fire raged on for a century, many lives were claimed, but eventually the champion stood, the rest saw the better, Mr. Rogers in a bloodstained sweater. This is the Ultimate Showdown, Ultimate Destiny, good guys, bad guys, and explosions, as far as the eye can see, and only one
will survive. I wonder who it will be. This is the ultimate showdown. This is the ultimate showdown. This is the ultimate showdown. Ultimate destiny.